You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Thursday, the 14th of September. And we're looking ahead to this week's, of course, William Hill St. Ledger Festival. The first day being yesterday, we're going to look ahead to the second day and some of the big races from later on in the week. You can hear all the action on Racing Radio from 1 o'clock on Thursday with Sam Norris, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott. And there's also action at Chepstow, Epsom, Listowel and Hexham. So lots going on the Thursday on Racing Radio. But for now, to look ahead to it, Craig Forsyth joins me, John Gibby, here in the studio. Craig, how's it going?
Yeah, all very well, John. Looking forward to four excellent days at Doncaster. Of course, we are recording this before the first day's action. But ground drying out, didn't get anywhere near as much rain as was expected on Tuesday night. And there was a strong wind that helped with the drying process. I think that strong wind could play havoc on the first day of racing, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's usually a cracking 4 days, and this year St. Ledger really, really competitive and really exciting.
A lot of people were worried that, you know, we might have heavy ground all week, but Doncaster tends to be a course which dries out quite well, doesn't it? And we've seen maybe conditions won't be so bad as people were expecting, as you were saying.
Yeah, indeed. You know, even in the depths of winter, you know, the better ground National Hunt horses usually head for Doncaster because you're guaranteed hopefully a little bit of drier conditions. And, you know, it's a course, as you said, John, that does dry out quickly. So long may this wind continue, because, you know, it makes for better racing. The better horse can go quicker. And, you know, it just makes it so much more exciting to watch.
Well, let's start off looking at Thursday's action, Craig, with your Knapp and Next Best selection. So where's your Knapp going to be?
The Knapp runs in the sales race, which is 335, 300,000 up for grabs in this contest, 150 to the winner. So, you know, the prize money is very, very good. But I'm going with a horse here trained by Mick Shannon called Neola, a filly who was very, very impressive when winning a nursery off a mark of 89 at Goodwood. She's only had two starts in handicap company. On the first of those, John, she was drawn badly at Newmarket. There was a golden highway on that occasion up against the Stanside rail. She got caught in the middle of the track, and you know, it was easy to discount that effort. And then she was a little bit out of her depth at York behind Threading in the Lowther Stakes. So again, you know, it's easy to forgive that effort, and everything looked set for a big run, and she delivered last time at Goodwood, and it was very, very impressive the way she travelled through the race really strongly and then quickened away to win well. Looking back at the card and looking back at the times for the day, also on that card there was two very impressive maiden winners. One was a Mark Johnson horse. The other was an Amanda Perrott horse who in the Cal Abdullah colours was very impressive. But furlong for furlong and the figures from the day, Neola was by far the best performer. And, you know, she looks well worth a try out with handicap company. I think some of the group races are a little bit too far for her, but these sales races are absolutely perfect. I think she'll go extremely well. We know she handles cutting the ground. It was pretty soft at Goodwood when she won 9 days ago. So I've got absolutely no concerns about the ground conditions. You know, and as we said earlier, she is a filly that travels really strongly throughout her races, and when you look at this race, there is a lot of pace in the race, and there is a lot of pace drawn in high numbers. So stall 19 can be seen as a huge positive here, because hopefully Ben Curtis can be able to just sit in behind a strong pace and then come through as she did at Goodwood. So I'm very, very keen on the chances of Neola on Thursday, John, and she is by far my best bet of the day.
Niola, the NAP selection for Craig Forsyth on Thursday's second day of the William Hill St. Ledger meeting at Doncaster. And I understand that Donny's also where your next best is, Craig.
Yeah, you know, we've been looking through the Doncaster card, and in the Mayor Hill, the staying event for fillies and mares, John, there's one horse stands out on this season's form, and that was the Godolphin runner, Natural Scenery. You know, she's took in two of the best staying handicaps of the summer. The Northumberland Plate, where she finished a really good second to Higher Power off a mark of 103, and the Ebor at York last time, where she finished third to Nikita off a mark of 105. She was hampered at a crucial stage of the Ebor race, and she was the horse that was finishing fastest of all down the outside. Obviously, Nikita had gone for home and was never really going to be catchable. Fly Me to the Stars was the other horse that kicked on, but the one that emerged from the pack was the Godolphin runner, Natural Scenery. Unfortunately, you know, she's gone up another 2 pounds to a mark of 107, but she is the class act of this race, and, you know, bringing such strong staying handicap form into this contest at Group 2 level, I think she can make the step up. So Natural Scenery is another one I do like on Thursday. There is, for me, a big danger in the race. Al Jazeera, I thought, was an eye-catcher on her first start after a break at York last time. She'd missed most of the summer after finishing third at Newbury. She was never really going in that listed event on the Knavesmire. Pushed along at an early stage, looking very, very rusty. You know, Frankie Dettori was almost given up with half a mile to run. But the closer they got to home, the more encouragement he got off the filly. And he basically had to go after her. And she ran on, albeit through mostly beaten horses, to finish third. But bearing in mind that was her first start since May, you'd imagine she'll be a lot sharper and she'll travel through the early stages of the race much sweeter than she was able to do at York. So she's the danger, Al Jazeera. But, you know, Natural Scenery's form for me this year is an absolute standout. And, you know, she's got to be worth sticking with 19 days on from her excellent effort in the Ebor.
Natural Scenery runs in the 3 o'clock at Doncaster on Thursday. The Park Hill Stakes, that Group 2 contest. Be interesting to see if Sybin's Royals Charger can take that step back to group company, having run so well in recent staying handicaps. Well, there's another group contest on the Thursday as well, Craig. That's the Group 2 May Hill Stakes, over a mile for a 2-year-old fillies. And we've got 8 declared to go to post for this one. And it's looking a relatively open affair.
It is, John, it is. Nialetta is the one that does set the standard. You know, she's been busy. She had 5 starts so far this campaign. Was very exciting, beating more experienced horses on a debut, including Bilsden Brook, who reopposes. You know, a filly that has improved leaps and bounds. Well, both of them have, in all honesty, since they met in that Salisbury contest. Ran in the Chesham and finished a really good second to September. You know, she showed a fair bit of speed over 6 on a debut at Salisbury, but proved over 7 at Ascot that she stayed the trip fine. She then finished a good second at Newmarket in a Group 2 and ran out an emphatic winner at Ascot over 6. And in that Ascot race, she set again a good, strong early pace, but stayed on particularly well in the closing stages to that. Unfortunately, she's bombed out a little bit in Group 1 company in France since then. But this is, you know, much calmer waters. Her Ascot run from her last start in this country and the Chesham at Royal Ascot is by far the best form on offer here, John. And I think, you know, she's probably more exposed than most, but I think she's the one they all have to beat. Lawrence is going to be up there in the betting alongside her, a horse that won despite showing signs of greenness on her debut at Doncaster. Dug in deep in the closing stages there to win well. Finished a good second in Group 3 company since in France. And, you know, a big danger. But Nialetti is hard to get away from.
If you're going to look at that run in France last time out in Group 1 company, it didn't look promising for her. But she's only been beaten 3 3/4 lengths by, unfortunately, a very promising sort of Carl Burks, looking like to be one of the best juvenile fillies in Europe this season.
Yeah, indeed. And Havana Grey was second. You know, a horse that's been in great form for Carl Burke as well. But with Carl Burke having Lawrence in here, he obviously knows what level she needs to run to beat Nailetti, you would think, based on that French form. But I wouldn't be as sweet on the chances of Nailetti as I am on the other two horses we've mentioned, but I'll put her forward as the most likely winner.
The most likely winner of the Mayhill Stakes, the 225 at Doncaster on Group 2, over a mile. Of course, you can hear it live on William Hill's Racing Radio, as with all the races we're discussing today. In fact, all the domestic racing action in general. So we'll look ahead now, Craig, to some of the races taking place a little bit later in the week. In fact, two races taking place consecutively on Saturday. We'll talk about the big race, the final classic, the namesake of the whole week, very shortly. But first up at 3 o'clock on Saturday, it's the Champagne Stakes, the 7-furlong Group 2 contest for colts and geldings. We've seen some nice horses win this in the past, Craig. Who do you think might be adding their name to that roll of honour this time round?
I do like Red Mist. I was particularly impressed by the way he went about his business on his debut. He beat a horse that has won since on that occasion. There was a good four-length gap back to the third. And to be honest, I was really sweet on his chances in the listed event at Newbury. He was beaten by a horse, and Hay Garman, who reopposes a horse that had a lot more experience going into that listed heat at Newbury. I think Red Mist will, you know, have learned a great deal. You know, it was a huge step from a maiden race to listed company on a, you know, for a horse's second start. So there's much more to come from him, and you know, I think he's a lovely prospect. Is Red Mist. 7 furlongs has proved to be what looks his optimum trip for this season, certainly as a 2-year-old, and his two starts so far. You know, he's handled cutting the ground, so you know, he ticks a lot of boxes, Red Mist, and like I said, I think he will go forward again from second to third start, and he could prove hard to beat.
There's a very valuable maiden run on the final day, or the penultimate day, I think, at the York Ebor Festival. Very often we see the horses who win that race, of course it's always a highly competitive affair, come forward to win in that race, both contests over 7 furlongs, and Rivet won both contests last year. Dream Today makes that that same path to Doncaster for the Champagne Stakes, Craig, this year. How do you rate his chances?
Yeah, he was particularly impressive in the convivial maiden at York. John, for a newcomer as well, coming up against horses with more experience, you have to think the right horse has finished in behind him as well in second and third. And given Mark Johnson's horrendous record on the Knavesmire, you know, you can mark that performance up. So again, you know, it's a big step for a horse jumping from maiden company to this level and you know, just a horse's second start. Group two from a maiden is a big step. I think he'll run well, but he's going to have to find a little bit of improvement from what he showed at York. Capable of that, definitely capable of that, but I just think this might catch him out and be a little bit too soon in his career.
Be interesting to see how he runs. Be interesting to see how all the 12 horses who are currently involved in the Champagne Stakes do, depending on who turns up. A few unexposed types. It'd be interesting to see what they can go on to do through this autumn. 35 minutes after the Champagne Stakes, the William Hill St. Ledger takes place. That Group 1, of course, the classic of a mile and 6.5 furlongs. Now, of course, we've been talking about this a lot in the last few weeks, Craig. It's looking, I think it's fair to say, a better renewal of this race than we've had in some recent years. What are your thoughts on a likely winner?
Well, haven't played any cards in the race yet, John, in terms of a bet. I'm waiting on a better guide to what the going is going to be like on Saturday. And I think last night was definitely key to that. I think we could well be heading towards good ground, good to soft at worst come Saturday. So for me, that makes Stradivarius the one to beat. Not many horses coming to the St. Ledger haven't won a Group 1. You know, and Stradivarius didn't just win a Group 1. He beat Big Orange, who was a very, very good winner at Royal Ascot, and he beat him convincingly. Now, many people will look to the weight for age allowance and think Stradivarius was a little bit flattered, but for me, you know, he proved that he's got the class. He won in a very, very quick time as well for a staying event. And for a horse that stays so well, he's blessed with that good turn of foot that not many stayers have. I think he's got the lovely mix of stamina and speed. I think he's a really exciting horse. He won the Queen's Vase, which was upgraded to Group 2 and reduced to 1 mile and 6 furlongs this year. He just keeps progressing. And, you know, the drying ground is the definite key to his chances. Had it come up soft, I would have been looking towards Defoe, who's proven under the conditions. Brondo, much drier conditions. Stradivarius has to be the one to beat.
And he's currently priced up at time of recording at 13-2 of us here at William Hill. 4-1 joint favourites, Capri and Crystal Ocean. It's the 9-2 for Defoe, Stradivarius, and in the market at 13-2. Coronet 7-1, 10-1 for Rekindling, 12-1 for both Raheen House and Venice Beach, and it's 25-1 and bigger for the rest. But Stradivarius, the selection, it's that on the proviso that it does dry out
good
a bit soft. Further.
Yeah. You know, I think that's fair to say. I don't think they're anticipating too much more rain between now and Saturday, John. But this time of year, we all know how unsettled the forecast can be. I'm hoping good to soft at worst. And if it is, Stradivarius would be a confident selection.
Well, we're all looking forward to the William Hill St. Ledger. 3:35 at Doncaster on Saturday, of course. And Craig, thanks for your thoughts, as always, here on William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.